You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
And joining us right now, Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst. He's also a former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Joe, good morning. How are you, Joe?
Vive la France.
Vive la France. Yeah, a lot of different things. There's so much happening in the world. I wanted to start out talking to you about Berkeley. We can weigh in on France coming up, but I just wanted to talk to you about what the legalities surrounding Berkeley canceling on Ann Coulter. And now we hear that the Berkeley College Republicans sent a letter to the interim vice chair there, threatening a lawsuit because they say they're violating their rights to free speech. How is this going to and are there any legalities here that we need to know about?
Plenty. I mean, first of all, this is a public university, so there are all sorts of different rules about due process and access and all that sort of stuff. But the real problem here is the different treatment of different types of speakers. And it's clear that Berkeley doesn't want Ann Coulter coming. They made it clear they canceled her speech over fears of violence. Their job is to allow free speech and to provide the appropriate protection where necessary. The fact that they then re-invited her to speak on another day, which is the days when the school is actually closed and the students are preparing for exams and there are no classes, was beyond insulting. It was manipulative. And what's going on here is the school, like many other colleges and universities around the country, doesn't really believe in free speech. They believe in one kind of speech. That's leftist speech, liberal speech, progressive speech, but no conservative speech. As Cato Byrne used to say, if you want diversity in colleges, hire a conservative. You won't find any conservatives in most universities. So Ann Coulter had basically a contract with the Republican group that invited her. She has a right to speak there. Unless she's committing a crime by coming, she can show up. Now, the university has put itself in this position. They have nobody to blame but themselves. This is years of intolerance, of diverse speech, of conservative speech. And I hope the Republicans do sue and sue the university. The university deserves to be sued. The insipid people who run these universities today are intellectual cowards, and they deserve everything that's said about them and everything that happens to them.
You know, Joe, I know that you have been very interested in following the travails of our FBI director.
Yep.
And I happened to see this New York Times story this weekend, which was, it is a long, long, long story.
Five full pages of the New York Times.
It was a fascinating read, more than we can go into here, but I wondered, what nuggets did you pull from it that just jumped out at you?
This is a story that Jim Comey wanted written. This is part of the Comey hagiography that's being developed now. This is his desire to protect himself once again from being potentially fired by President Trump, who should have fired him the day he took office and made the terrible mistake of keeping Jim Comey. Just remember one thing about Comey. You read this article in the New York Times yesterday, and I commend it to our listeners. This is a sign of a very, very strange man beyond J. Edgar Hoover in his manipulative intent. The phony machinations that this story demonstrates he went through to make himself look like, making Solomonic decisions about whether to hold a press conference, whether to send a letter, whether to announce publicly, what was his role. This is a guy who was so self-centered and has done so much damage to the FBI that it is inconceivable to me that anybody on Capitol Hill would want to hear him testify about anything. This guy has become basically a two-bit fraudster when it comes to law enforcement, And he, in his own mind, he is the greatest thing that ever came down law enforcement's pipe.
So this whole five-page story in the New York Times, in your estimation, was damage control by Comey.
Oh, absolutely. This was clearly something he wanted written, and he authorized a number of former FBI officials to comment about his agonizing decisions as he went through this process. This is BS. This guy needs to be removed from office. I continue to maintain that he is the dirtiest of dirty cops in the United States.
Well,
wow.
Don't hold back.
That's
pretty damning. Tell us what you really think. Yeah. French elections, Joe.
Well, all you have to do is spend a little bit of time in France to know that this was coming. Remember, the two major parties did not finish in the top tier. These are two outside groups, Macron, the sort of center-left, and Le Pen, the obvious right. This is an amazing result, but it's not surprising. It's amazing in the sense that these are the two people, so starkly different. But if you've been to France in the last 10 years, you see that it's a mess. The lack of assimilation by Muslims in France has created a cultural war, a civil war inside France that cannot be fixed easily. That's why this happened, because the traditional parties kept putting off and putting off and putting off, not dealing with the lack of assimilation, not saying to Muslims, you can come here, we want multiple ethnicities, but we want one culture. And you know what? They just wouldn't do it. And this is what happens. It's part of it's about the EU, that's true, but this is about immigration. This is about the failure to control radical Muslims, radical mosques, the preaching of hatred, the anti-feminist, anti-women rhetoric that abounds in these mosques in France. It's only a matter of time. This is actually a safety valve, this election. This helps people let off steam. If this hadn't happened, my fear, from having been there with my wife, Victoria, on a number of occasions over the last 10 years, was that there was going to be a literal civil war, a physical civil war, violence against Muslims. And it's still building up all over Europe because of their refusal to assimilate.
But Macron, the moderate, mm-hmm. is the one who came out on top. And the feeling is that the majority of the people...
Who married his teacher.
Yes, 24 years older than he is.
Oh, man, what a story.
Yay, France.
Wow.
The conventional, from what I'm hearing, though, is that the people who voted for the other traditional parties, because he got 23.8% of the vote, she got 21.5%
right.
of the vote. There are a lot of votes out there. The majority of the votes are still out there to be had.
Right.
They're probably going to go behind him because he is more centrist. He's not as extreme as Marine Le Pen is.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, that would be the traditional analysis that a political scientist or analyst would do. On the other hand, these are strange times. That's the same analysis that was done of Trump.
That's exactly my point,
all of these undecided voters were eventually going to fall in line, and they weren't going to take a risk on somebody like Trump. Well, you know, this is of course, a little different, because in this sense, in the Clinton-Trump thing, at least you had one traditional politician from the mainstream party. Donald Trump was not a Republican. He was an independent who took over the Republican Party mm-hmm. for purposes of a national election. Le Pen and Macron are two different parties having nothing to do with the traditions. And so I think it's up for grabs. I think the French people, again, are so furious at the EU and Brussels for intruding in their personal lives with ridiculous regulations. But beyond that, they are furious about losing their culture. And they talk about it. It's amazing. When you go there, you can physically sense the anger seething beneath the surface in France about the refusal of Muslims to assimilate and become part of France. Well, this is about what is France. That's the issue. What is France?
Well, we're going to find out. Joe, thank you so much for your time and for your wisdom. And you know we always love having you.
And by the way, Cato Byrne was one of the most magnificent people I ever met in my life. And I wish her rest in peace. God, what a wonderful person.
Thank you for that, Joe.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciate it.
You bet.